Right, I'm going to be as brief as can, but I wanted to, we're going to do a wee bit of Haggai. We've started Haggai. We're going to do a bit of chapter 2, so if you get your Bibles, and we're going to look that up and read that in a minute or two. I kind of get the opportunity to go to lots of different meetings all over Scotland, and in fact in different places around the world for various reasons, and I want you to know that I spend quite a lot of time boasting about you. I do. I tell people stories about what you do, and some of them aren't all that embarrassing. Most of them are embarrassing. Most of the stories I tell are basically just about how embarrassing you are. And no, that's not true. I boast about how God's moving amongst you and amongst us, and how great that is, and what a privilege it is to be amongst us. And you know, the thing is that actually the reaction I get to that is usually because people are actually. When you go to church meetings and you hear stories, you know, I tell them that, you know, God is moving amongst us, God is healing people, saving people, transforming people's lives, that we're working in food banks and we're doing all sorts of amazing things and all that kind of stuff, and actually that the church is growing and that people, you know, as far as I can tell from today, the church is mainly growing because Tam keeps inviting people from other churches, but that's actually not true. The church is growing because people are coming to faith as well. There's lots of stories of people coming to faith. Even this week, we've had another person on Friday committing their life to Jesus. So, you know, I boast about that. And I boast about that because actually it's God. And it's not us. And we're not boasting. I'm not boasting about you. Jesus. And I'm boasting about God. I'm boasting about the ways that he does stuff amongst us. But the thing, again, listen to this. The thing is that people are really surprised by that. And they're surprised by that because actually a lot of the stories that are happening across Scotland in particular are not stories of growth. They're not stories of how the church is growing. They're not stories of salvation. They're not stories of what God is doing. They're actually stories of decline. If you've not heard this yet, there's a survey that's been done, and they've actually given the Church of Scotland, the denomination we're part of, an end date. So the decline of the church is so dramatic, the statisticians have kind of gone, 2033, Church of Scotland, apparently, that's our end date. Amen, my friend. But it is, you know, there's definitely all of that kind of stuff going on. And actually, and all of that, it's actually really difficult sometimes to be able to believe for what God wants to do. And to push through, persevere. This passage in Haggai in particular is actually all about how do you persevere and get the breakthrough for the promises that God has given to you? How do you look at the circumstances around about you, and instead of allowing yourself to be dictated by the circumstances in front of you, you actually allow the word of God, the promises of God, the things that he's spoken over you, the prophetic words that he's given you, how can you let those be the things that actually set the course and pattern of your life, rather than the immediate circumstances that are there? So let's read together from Haggai, Haggai chapter 2, and we're reading from verses 1 to 9. Last week we talked about the period of the restoration of the temple. So we told about the fact that, you know, that the temple had been destroyed, and the people had been carted off into exile, and Jerusalem had been made a mess of. And then what happened was Nehemiah came back, he rebuilt the walls. And yet, what happened was that the temple, which was a place that people met with God and connected with God, that hadn't been their priority. And basically, God sent a word through Haggai in chapter 1 and said, get your fingers out. You know, stop doing all the other stuff in life. Stop doing all the things that are actually to do with your comfort and your, you know, and all the other things that actually are easy to be distracted by. And focus on the thing that God wants you to do, which is actually to build the temple of God. And so that was what chapter 1 is all about. Continuation of that. So let's read it. On the 21st day of the 7th month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Speak to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, to Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people. Ask them, who of you left who saw this house in its former glory? How does it look to you now? Does it not seem to you like nothing? Now, just for a moment, let's just pause for a second. So what they were looking at that point was the rubble of the old temple. So they basically were on a building site, and all that they could see was actually the old temple had been smashed to bits. There wasn't anything there. And basically what had happened was, as they looked out, they were just looking at the rubble. They were looking at a mess. They were, so that's what they sort of said. When it says, does it not seem to you like nothing? Well, actually, yes, it does seem like nothing. It seems like an enormous mess. So that's what they were looking at that point. And then he goes on to say this, but now be strong, declares the Lord. Be strong, Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest. Strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord, and work, for I am with you, declares the Lord Almighty. This is what I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, and my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. This is what the Lord Almighty says. While I will once again make once more shake the heavens and the earth, and the sea and the dry land, I will shake all the nations, and what is desired by all the nations will come, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord Almighty. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty. The glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord Almighty. And in this place I will grant peace, declares the Lord Almighty. So the word was given to Haggai to tell the folks, look, you see, what do you see in front of you? What do you see in terms of the things that are right in front of you? And the answer was a mess. The answer was a big pile of rubble. And their job was to rebuild the temple. Their job was to do this amazing, you know, wonderful thing. And actually, what they needed was, they needed encouragement. They needed to sort of, they needed to take their eyes off the immediate circumstances that are in front of them and actually focus on the things that God has spoken to them. Tell, you know, be focused on the things that God is saying. God is saying, look, we are to build the temple. You have to redo this thing. You have to go to it. He's saying, you know, but this is the thing. It's so easy to be distracted by the circumstances that are around about you. And again, I take me and my boasting. So I'm boasting about what God is doing amongst us, and I'm talking about how amazing it is to be part of this incredible, adventurous, pioneering group of people. And people are sort of saying to me, oh, but what about the rubble of the Church of Scotland? What about the mess that's in front of us? What about all these statistics? What about all of this and that and other? You know, so basically they're sort of saying, do you not actually see what's in front of you? It's nothing. There's nothing good here. There's all just a mess. And I'm saying, what I'm saying is, listen, we have been promised that we are going to be an urban monastery that's actually going to see these things happen. See this scripture at the end? That's what we had at the beginning. The Whitehaven Church of Scotland would become a child of the promise, a child of miracles, a child of healing, a child of revival. Those are the things that God's spoken to us. That's what we're looking for. That's what we're pressing forward to. We have a word that's spoken over us as a church, that we are a supernatural well of healing and renewal. That when people come, that actually God is going to touch them and going to heal them just by simply being amongst us, just by walking amongst us. We have a word that's about addiction and breaking the power of addiction. That as people just simply, that we'll get to the stage where we won't even have to pray for people, we won't even have to speak to people, but just by them coming into the presence of God amongst us, that addiction will be broken in their life. We've got all of these promises over our life. And you see, the thing is for me, I am saying, this is already what God is doing, but that is what he is going to do. This is where we're going to go. That's what we're all about. That's why God is adding to our number daily, because he wants to actually strengthen us to be able to achieve these things. And all the other people are going to go and rumble, rubble, 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 rubbish, nothing happening, look at all the mess. And I'm saying, you missed the point. You missed the point, because it's not about what's there. It's about what God is saying. And actually, God is speaking to us, and he's saying to us, you have come to the cusp of a breakthrough. Press forward. You know, press forward into all the things that God has for you. Don't stop here. We were away last night. Some of us were away last night at Port Soy. We were talking to different folks. And the thing I said this to you a wee while ago, but I'll say it again. People do not give up in the valley. You know, when they kind of go down into a deep depression and not, you know, they kind of go through different things and they go down into the valley, they don't stop in the valley, because actually because they've got the momentum of kind of like, well, we know what it was like before, so we're not going to stop there. Do you know when they stop? They stop just before, they stop as they're going back up out of the valley before they break through, before they get over the brow of the hill. They stop just there and they kind of go, I can't cope anymore. Yeah. And they slide back down the thing. And what I was saying to them last night is what I want to say to you as well, which is, listen, it's hard. Many, and a particular, I particularly want to talk to you, those of you who have been part of this church for like a few years now, and who have actually who have served and prayed and poured out and just, you know, and all the rest of it. And to be honest with you, you're feeling a wee bit kind of like, oh, church isn't quite what it was anymore. You know, look at all these people. Where did they all come from? And I just want to say to you, this is what we prayed for. This is what we prayed. We have been praying for you. Those of you who are new, we've been praying for you for years. We've been asking, Lord, send the workers for the harvest. And we have been seeing the harvest brought in a way that we've never seen in the last... we have seen more people come into faith in the last 20 months than the last 20 years before that. God is doing something here. And listen, in particular, for those of you who feel as though you're a bit kind of like, this is hard, and I don't really feel as though I can cope with the change, and nobody really notices me anymore, and I feel as though... All that kind of... I understand that. But listen, press forward. We're on the cusp. Don't now kind of go, I've done all this work for the last 20 years, and now I'm going to, you know, step aside from it. That's crazy. Press forward. All of this stuff is ours, and it's going to happen. We're going to see these things happening because God has spoken about it. So what does this passage tell us? It tells us four simple things that God's going to do to help us to be able to fulfill the promises that he's given to us. One, he is with us. He is with us. I'm going to tell you this story. This is a funny story. Let me tell you a funny story. So Gary and I went to Dundee once Gary and Jill had a flat up there. They weren't paying the rent. And I sort of said to Gary, do you know what we should do? We should go up and we should doorstep them in the first thing in the morning. It's not a good story, I'll be honest. It doesn't paint us in a good light, but I'll just tell the story anyway. So Gary was going, right, are you sure? And I'm going, it'll be fine, just go. So we turn up at 7 o'clock in the morning, chap this guy's door, and I said, and I'm standing behind him, and I had like a really big black coat on, and basically I said, see when he opens the door, put your foot in the door and start moving, right? Woof, we're going in, right? And he's going, I don't think that's a good idea. I'm going, that's where he chaps the door, and oh, hello, good morning. You know, and we start kind of, and he looks at Gary, and Gary's kind of, and he kind of goes, oh, hello, Gary. And then he looks at me, and he went, hello. And I didn't say anything at that point. I thought, no, no. And so we walk in. He sort of said, oh, do you come into my living room? Have a wee sit down. So we sat down in his living room, and we talked. Gary talked about the fact that this guy hadn't paid his rent, and why hadn't he paid his rent, and he wanted the money. And I'm just sitting there. So after a wee while, the guy eventually actually kind of went, I think I could find maybe, he was 5 months behind, so he said, I've got a couple of months money, I'll give you that, and then we sorted out various things and all that. So anyway, this is really bad. At the end of the story, this is really, really bad, I'm really sorry. At the end of the story, at the end of what happened was, I kept my mouth shut all the way through the whole thing. Until we got to the point where we got up to leave and we were going to go and get some money and do all the things. This is really bad. Anyway, and I said to the guy, do you know where I'm from? Yeah. And he went, no, I come from Glasgow. Right. And he said, oh, I'm good at the accent. And he said, I don't ever want to come. I have to come back through here again. How bad is that? Right, anyway. So, what am I making? The point that I'm making here is, you know, we got the money. We got the money. And, you know, and Gary had me with him, you know. Now, I can do a lot, but I'm telling you this. God can do far more. When he says, I am with you, I'd rather have him at my back. I really would. I would rather have him at my back, backing me up. And that's what he's saying here. I've got your back. I've got your back. See as you press forward and you start doing these things and you talk about all these things that you're going to do, that actually the things that I've already spoken to you about, don't worry because I've got your back. You don't need to fear. Press forward. Get the job done. Get on with it because I'm with you. That's the first thing he says. Second thing he says is this. He says, I'm going to shake the heavens and the earth. I'm going to actually kind of do different things. And what he's saying in that is, Listen, I know what's happening. God knows what's happening about Trump. God knows what's happening. God knows what's happening about all the other things that are all over the place that are changing our culture and all the rest of it. God is shaking the heavens and the earth. God is shaping all of these different things. And what he's saying is, nothing is a surprise to me. I've got it. I understand what's going on. And so you might look at the circumstance, and the people around about us might look at the circumstance and say, what a shambles, what a complete and utter disaster, whatever it is that they're saying. But God is saying, listen, I have this under control. I'm going to shake the heavens and the earth. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And what God's saying is, I have a plan and I am working it out. So the second thing that God does to help us to press forward is this. No matter what the other things are, no matter the circumstances, no matter what comes, you know, what on earth Trump is going to do, who knows, God is still in charge. He is Lord, and there is nothing going to shape or stop his plans and purposes being achieved. Third thing is this, he says, I have all the silver and all the gold. Those guys were trying to build a temple that was going to be enormous and incredible and all the rest of it. And they were sort of saying, how on earth are we going to pay for this? And he just simply says to them, I have it all. I have every resource that you need to be able to achieve the thing that I've called you to. And God says that to us too. There is nothing that God orders that he does not pay for. Right? So, again, third thing he says, all the silver is mine, all gold is mine. He has everything that he needs to be able to do the thing. Last thing that he says is this, the glory of the former shall increase and be greater than the glory of the latter. And what does that mean? Well, he was really talking about the kind of the building of the temples, and the second temple was, you know, it was an incredible thing and a glorious thing, and various things happened. So he was actually specifically talking in that situation about the building of the temple. But listen, this is what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 6. It says this: Do you not know that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You have been bought with a price. When we apply the scripture to this, our context, we're not talking now about a building in Jerusalem. We're talking about ourselves. We're actually saying, what God is sort of saying is, I am going to be even greater in you than I was in any of those religious experiences that happened in Jerusalem. I am going to come into you in greater measure. I'm going to release more power. I'm going to release more love. I'm going to come and be present with you in such a way that actually you will be able to do even more than you would ever imagine. So this is the thing. There is a mandate from God to continue to press forward and to overcome, to achieve all that God has placed in our hearts. And he has promised he will be with us. He has a plan and he's working it out. He has all the resources and he's willing to give them to those who are willing to ask him. And he is going to come and be with us, fill us, dwell within us as his people in a way that will allow us to be able to do these things. So let's press forward into that. It says here, when they heard all of the things, they got to work. Let's get to work. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We pray, Lord God, that you would now stir our hearts with such conviction from your word that we would take hold of the promises that you've given to us, and we would say we will set these as our guide and as our pathway. And yeah, we can see all the rubble of the world, and we can see the mess, and we can hear the words of other people who are telling us that this isn't going to work and that's not going to happen. But we're not going to listen to that, Lord. We're going to be people who are going to set our faces like flint. We're going to do what you've called us to do, because we are people called to bring about healing and miracles and revival. So, Lord, move in power. Do what you need in us to get us to the place where we're able to do what you're calling us to. For we ask this now, and we pray for ourselves now. Just asking, Lord, that you would bless us now. Bless us, we pray. May the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and all those that you love, now and forevermore. Amen.